The Lord is so good. Stand with me all over this house as we get ready to turn to the word of the Lord. Amen. We are so excited to have you with us today. Can we give the Lord another hand clap of praise for all of our visitors? Amen. We are thrilled to have you in the house of the Lord. We're coming off of a very successful outing yesterday. We had our second BBA golf scramble of the year. We want to thank Brother Jason Carr for all of his tremendous efforts to bring all of our men. Amen. This time we didn't have any women. Last in our spring we had some women golfers, but this time it was all men. Amen. We're thankful today for all the work and the labor and love to all of those who come out. If you had a good time at our BBA golf scramble, can you give the Lord another hand clap of praise today? We're thankful for those times that we get to spend together. Yesterday I was honored at the speaking with the owner of the golf course. He made it a point to come to me, and he told me, he said, "I want you to know you have a tremendous group here." And I said, "Well, thank you, sir. That means a lot to me." He said, "You have a really respectful group of guys here. And I want you to know you bring this church honor, amen, when you go out into the public, amen." And I'm thankful that we can be a good representation of Jesus Christ, amen. And I'm thankful today to have you in the house of the Lord. I'm humbled at the privilege and the honor to speak into this body today. If you got your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Acts, the 14th chapter. I want to share with this body what the Lord has very specifically placed on my heart. I had a different direction that I was wanting to go this week, but Tuesday night, as Brother Joe McKee was speaking in our midweek service, the Lord spoke this into my spirit, and he changed my course. And today, I want to share with this body what the Lord has placed on my heart. Acts the 14th chapter, just two short verses of scripture. Acts 14, shout yes when you're there. If you don't have your Bibles, the words are provided up on the screens behind me. Amen. If you need a Bible, please see me. We will make sure you have a Bible. Every home needs a Bible. Amen. We want you to have a Bible in your home. Acts the 14th chapter and the very first verse, the word of the Lord says, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together." We're speaking today of Paul and Barnabas on Paul's first missionary journey. "They went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed." Everybody say believed. They believed. But verse 2, look at verse 2, where I want to hang my hat for just a few moments this afternoon. It says, "And the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, and they made their minds evil, affected against the brethren." I want to read to you the Aramaic Bible in plain English version. This is what it says of verse 2. It says, "But the Jews who were unconvinced stirred up the Gentiles to harm the brethren." I want you to understand today, the devil's wise enough to know that he can't stop the Lord. Nobody needs to tell him that today. He already knows, Brother Joe, he can't stop the Lord. He can't stop the hand of God. He can't stop the word of God. He cannot stop God himself. The truth is, he doesn't have to stop God. He can stop God from using you if he can make you unconvinced. Unconvinced. This day, Paul and Barnabas walked into the synagogue, Brother Paul. They preached the same truth to both Jews and to Gentiles. Many of them received the preaching of God's word, but some of them were unconvinced. And when they were unconvinced, they began to turn the others, Mother Peg, against the apostles' doctrine. I want to preach to this body for a few moments with the help of the Holy Ghost on this topic, the calamity of the unconvinced. The calamity of the unconvinced. Before we are seated, let's clap our hands unto the Lord. Let's open our mouths and shout hallelujah all over this house. Come on, give Him praise right now. Come on, give Him praise right now. He's worthy of your praise. He woke you up this morning, started you on your way. Your car started when you turned the key. Your lights came on when you flipped the switch. Your heart started beating when you got out of the bed. And it's all because of the mercy of God. Give Him praise all over this house today. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy today. Lord bless you. You may be seated today. God is so good and He's so worthy to be praised. I want to speak to you for a few moments on the calamity of the unconvinced. In our text today, we find ourselves traveling with the apostles Paul and Barnabas. We are on Apostle Paul's first missionary journey. The Lord is teaching the Apostle Paul to stand strong in the face of opposition. He has recently been driven out of the city of Antioch. Paul is learning very quickly, Brother Corey, that not everything is peaches and cream. Not everybody's going to receive the truth with joy in their heart and in their mind. But the truth of the matter is, when you preach truth, you're going to get opposition. When you bring the message of God's word, you're going to get opposition. And very quickly, Paul is understanding on his first missionary journey here that there will be opposition. He's been driven out of the city of Antioch. Now he has come to Iconium. And there they are learning that preaching the truth will create some opposition. Now, I want you to understand something today. Paul and Barnabas are not troublemakers. They're not out causing dissension. They're not out ensuing arguments of their own making. They're not out looking for trouble like some are. I know these are men of God. These are Holy Ghost filled men of God, Brother Bo. These are men that love people. These are men that want to reach hearts, all right? But by simply, Brother Levi, preaching the truth, they found opposition. Because the truth will always create opposition. Amen. And they're not out stirring up stinks. There's our men that are full of the Holy Ghost, and they love people, and they love the truth. But the truth will always have opposition. Paul and Barnabas walk into the synagogue that day, and they began preaching to both Jews and to Gentiles. They began preaching to those that were of the seed of Abraham and those to those who are not of the seed of Abraham. And as they began to preach the truth, some of the people received it, but others rejected it. Can I tell you today, as you go out as into the highways and the byways, Brother Joe, and you begin to spread the seed of truth, some people are going to receive it, and some people are going to reject it. And at some point in time in your life, you got to make up your mind. You're going to continue to spread the seed of truth, and whoever will receive it will receive it. And whoever won't receive it, you're going to wipe the dust off of your feet, and you're going to move on to the next city. Because the truth will always find opposition. Amen. And as they preached truth, some people received that truth and others rejected that truth. You see, to the optimist, the truth has an aroma of life. When you to the optimist, to the one who loves truth, Brother Paul, there's an aroma of life. But to the pessimist, to those who you can never make happy, to those who will never receive truth, the truth has an aroma of death. Because you can't get past the fact that living for God is going to cost you something. Living for God is going to separate you from some stuff. Living for God is going to cause some people to walk away from you. Living for God is going to cause some people to turn against you. And to the pessimist, they cannot get past the smell of death because they understand that the further you go in truth, the more some things are going to die in your life. So there's an aroma of death to the pessimist, and they cannot get past it. Amen. They cannot get past the fact that living for God is going to cost you some stuff in your life. But can I tell you today, the Apostle Paul was not a man pleaser. And even though we're called to love people and we're called to sow the seed of the Word of God into people's lives, we cannot be man pleasers. Come on, listen to me today. Becoming a man pleaser will cause you to compromise this message. And becoming somebody who thinks you got to please everybody will cause you to compromise this message. Can I tell you, we don't have to compromise this message today. It is possible to have both, Brother David, love and truth. Because God is love. And Jesus said, I am the way. And I am the truth. And I am the life. Amen. We don't have to become man pleasers to carry the truth. We don't have to compromise the message to love people. It is possible to love people and have the truth. Our goal is to please God and win souls. Huh? How many believe we can do both today? How many believe there's some people out there that want what God's word says? How many know there's some people out there that want what God has in store for them? You don't have to compromise this message today. You can win people and please God. Amen. And this is what the Apostle Paul was attempting to do. Amen. You can please God and win people, but not everybody's going to receive the truth, as Paul learned in both Antioch and Iconium. Those who were not convinced, they began to sow seeds of doubt into those who were trying to receive the truth of God's word. How many know calamity loves company? Calamity loves company. So the ones who would not receive the truth very quickly began to sow the seeds of doubt into those who were trying to receive the truth. You see, calamity invites the enemy into your life. Calamity invites the enemy into your marriage. Calamity invites the enemy into your finances. Calamity is destructive. And the devil desires the destructive. The devil loves the destructive. The devil doesn't want to see you build. The devil wants to see you destroyed. Because he loves calamity today. The Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Can I tell you today, the devil wants you to believe otherwise. The devil doesn't want you to believe you can be free. The devil doesn't want you to believe you can be blessed. The devil doesn't want you to believe you can live holy. The devil doesn't want you to believe you can turn your life around today. The devil wants you to believe otherwise, so he sends the unconvinced with the seed of doubt into your life to bring calamity. But I come to warn you today, You can't get caught up in the calamity of the unconvinced. You cannot get caught up in the calamity of the unconvinced. The town, the city, the village of Iconium drove the man of God right out of town because some seed sowers of doubt, when the truth was preached, they began to sow doubt amongst God's people. And they drove. The next thing you know, they began threatening to stone Paul and Barnabas. And the next thing you know, Paul and Barnabas had to pick up their stuff, Brother Doug, and they had to leave and they had to go on to the next city. You better be careful who you take your advice from. You better be careful who you do your fellowship with. You better be careful listening to negativity and naysayers. You better be careful getting caught up in the calamity of people who are not convinced about God's word and the truth of God's word. Because the calamity of the unconvinced will destroy your walk with God. It will destroy your walk with God. They drove Paul and Barnabas right out of town. You got to separate yourself from negativity, church. You can't let the unconvinced be influencing your mind. How many know you are what you hang around? You are what you hang around. Listen to me. A drunk don't go to a bar to get a cheeseburger. No. That's not the way this works. You got to be wise enough to understand that what God has brought you out of, you got to stay away from it. Because you are what you hang around with. And if you hang around with negative people, then you're going to become a negative person yourself. If you got constantly calamity surrounding your life, you're going to have calamity in your own life. And we see here in the scripture that as Paul and Barnabas walk into the synagogue and they preach the truth of God's word, Brother Jason, the negativity begins to come out. And the naysayers begin to sow seeds of doubt. And next thing you know, there's calamity of the unconvinced, and it drives the man of God right out of town. The last thing you want is the voice of God out of your life. The last thing you want is the people of God that speak words of life into your life to be driven from you because you have been convinced by the unconvinced, and you have the calamity of the unconvinced in your life. You got to get rid of that negativity. You got to separate yourselves from that negativity. You cannot let the unconvinced be influencing your mind, because the next thing you know, your carnal mind will be the devil's workshop. The next thing you know, the thoughts will keep coming. Come on, the thoughts will keep stirring. The devil will keep sitting on your shoulder, and he'll keep speaking things into your life, and the negativity will keep spewing. Come on, the devil will be telling you, your life is over. You can't make it. The people in that church over there, they don't love you. Come on, the devil will be telling you, your health is declining. Your mind is not stable. They don't love you. You're not going to make it. The devil will put all kinds of stuff into your mind. You don't have to stop doing that. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to listen to what that preacher says. All that negativity will just keep on coming, and your mind will become like the devil's workshop. Come on, I don't have to do that. I don't have to stop that. I'm not included in anything. I don't believe that. Everything is spiritual. You better watch what you believe today. You better watch what you listen to today. Honey, let me tell you something. If it's in the Word of God, you better not only believe that, you better live by that. If the Word of God says it, you better not just believe that and live by that. You better build your house upon that, because it's a solid rock today. If it's in the Word of God, let me tell you something. I'm not living by what Mama and Daddy said. I'm not living by what Grandma and Grandpa said. I'm living by what Jesus said. I want the Word of God to be my moral compass today. I want the Word of God to direct my moral compass today. That's what I want today. I want my moral compass to be calibrated by the things of God. That's what I want today. Now, if you got a mom and daddy that's in the truth, God bless your heart. Listen to what they say, but you really listen to what Jesus said. You're really listening to what Jesus said. The Word of God needs to calibrate your moral compass today. Let me tell you something. The devil's been using the calamity of the unconvinced to sow seeds of doubt for a mighty long time. This ain't anything new. These attacks on the church, what you're seeing going on in the world today, this isn't any. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. It's just packaged in a different way. It just looks a little different than it used to. Come on, but the devil used the same tactics on David when he came home and Ziklag was burned with fire. The devil used the same tactics on Moses when the Lord spoke into his spirit and he said, you go down to Egypt and you tell Pharaoh, I said, let my people go. The devil used the same tactics when Joseph's own family threw him down in a pit. It was all the calamity of the unconvinced trying to get in the mind of God's people. Let me tell you something. Don't allow the devil any room, because if you give him an inch, he's going to take a mile. If you give him an inch, he's going to take a mile. The devil tried the same thing with Abraham when he was in search of a city. The devil tried the same thing with Noah when they laughed him to scorn when God told him to build an ark to the saving of his family. But when the rains began to fall and the floods began to rise, those same people that was laughing him to scorn was beating upon the door saying, "Oh man of God, let us in the ark. Oh man of God, save us. Let us in the ark." You better watch who you listen to today. Don't get caught up in the calamity of the unconvinced, because the enemy is trying to steal the seed of God's word out of your mind. He's trying to steal the seed of God's word out of your mind today. You can't get caught up in that mess today. You can't get caught up. Look, we see so many biblical examples of people that overcame the enemy trying to play games with their mind. We see Joseph, we see Abraham, we see Moses, we see Gideon, we see all these men of God, we see all these people of God that were called to do great things for the kingdom of God. Can I tell you, everybody in this room is called to do great things for the kingdom of God. The only thing standing between you and greatness is whether or not you're going to allow negativity in your mind. If you're going to allow those that are unconvinced to steal the seed of God's word out of your mind today, don't get caught up in the games that the devil's playing. Don't get caught up in the games that the devil's playing. Let me tell you something. The devil doesn't have to try to stop God as long as he can keep you unconvinced. As long as he can sow doubt in your mind. It's faith that moves the hand of God. Huh? It's faith, Brother Peter, that moves the hand of God. And if the enemy can just get in our mind just enough to sow a seed of doubt, if he can just send the calamity of the unconvinced, if he can just send those that will reject truth to just sow a little bit of doubt in your heart and in your mind, he can steal your blessing. Don't get caught up in the things that the devil has for you. He's trying to steal the seed of the word of God in your life. The truth is, God wants you to be blessed. Come on, the devil wants you to doubt, but the Lord wants you to believe. The Lord wants you to have faith today. Come on, he tried to make Daniel doubt when he was down on his knees praying at that window that he prayed towards the east three times a day. The devil tried to make him doubt, Brother Joe. The devil didn't want him praying to God three times a day. And the devil don't want you seeking God today. And the devil don't want you having truth today. And the devil don't want you to be blessed today. The devil don't want your children to have the Holy Ghost today. The devil don't want your finances to be blessed today. The devil don't want your home to be in unity today. The devil does not want the peace of God in your life today. Let me tell you something. The enemy telling you that you are not blessed makes about as much sense as having a milk bucket under a bowl. That's how stupid it is. I'm blessed. I'm not going to receive anything else other than I'm blessed. I'm a child of God. I've been born again of the water and of the Spirit. I'm endued with a power from on high. I'm not going to receive anything else. If any man come preaching any other gospel, I'm going to say, no, sir, not here, not in my house, not in my town, not on my watch. I'm a child of God, and I'm blessed today. Clap your hands if this is helping you. Give the Lord some praise today. Clap your hands, give the Lord some praise today. You're blessed because you've been endued with power from on high. You're blessed because the blood of Jesus has washed all your sins away. You're blessed because you have brothers and sisters in the house of God that are your keeper today. You're blessed because there's no weapon formed against you that's going to prosper. You're blessed because the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. You're blessed. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, I'm blessed today. Now turn to your other neighbor and say, I'm blessed today. I'm blessed today. We get caught up in the calamity of the unconvinced, and they're sowing seeds of doubt in our life. We can't do it today, church. We got to stop it today. We're a blessed people today. You ought to tell your neighbor right now, I'm blessed. I'm beyond blessed. I'm so blessed I can't contain it all. I'm so blessed my cup's running over. I'm so blessed my heart is full. I'm so blessed because he's too big for me to wrap my mind around. I'm blessed because I'm saved. I'm empowered by the Spirit of God today. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed because I'm redeemed by his blood. I'm blessed because there's living water flowing out of my belly. I'm blessed because I got a good church that preaches the truth that I call home. I'm blessed because the Lord woke me up this morning and started me on my way. I'm blessed. I'm not going to have anything else. I'm not going to receive anything else. I'm blessed today. I got brothers and sisters that love me. I'm blessed. I'm blessed today because I might not be where I'm going, but I sure enough ain't where I've been. I'm blessed because I might not have it all together, but the Lord's giving me direction every single day. Come on, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed today. And that's what we got to make up in our minds. Come on, I'm blessed because 1,000's going to fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh me. It shall not come nigh me. I'm blessed. The Lord has given me what I need today. Not always what I want, but he's given me what I need today. Church, my praise is a weapon. I'm blessed. My praise is a weapon. The Lord has given me what I need today. My praise is a weapon today. My shout is a weapon today. My song is a weapon today. My faith is a weapon today. And it don't matter where I go. The Lord said he's going wherever the sole of your foot shall trod. He said, I'm going to give it to you. If you want to go here, I'm going to give it to you. If you want to go there, I'm going to give it to you. It don't matter. Sing on that barren land. Dance on that barren land. Give God praise on that barren land. And if God says so, then plant on that barren land, because it ain't your job to give the increase today. God will give the increase today. God will give the increase today. We're a blessed people. We're a blessed people today. Man, it breaks my heart what could have happened at Iconium. It breaks my heart what could have happened at Antioch. If the people would have just stopped buying in and drinking the Kool-Aid that the devil was handing them. Huh? The Lord sends a man of God right there to give them exactly what they need. And all because they got caught up in the naysayers' opinions. All because they got caught up in the calamity of the unconvinced. The Bible says they turned the hearts of those that received the word of God against the men of God. Man, the last thing you want is the voice of God to leave your life. The last thing you want is for the Lord to not prick you in your heart when you get out of his will. The last thing you want is when you start to veer off that road of safety for God to not take the rod of correction and to steer you back on the path. The last thing you want is not to be able to hear the voice of God in your life. Come on. You're blessed. You're a blessed people today. The Lord has given you what you need. You have praise. You have worship. You have the Spirit of God. You have the Word of God. You have the faith. Come on, you have the faith today. We're contending for the faith which was once delivered to the apostles today. We got to sing when we don't feel like it. We got to dance when we don't feel like it. Come on, even when we're standing in the midst of barren land. Even when it don't look good, even when things seem dry and dead, we got to praise God. We got to praise God. We got to shout until the rain falls. We got to dance until the darkness leaves. Come on, somebody. We got to worship God until everything gets better, knowing that he's going to make a way where there is no way. Why? Because we're blessed today, and we're not going to receive anything else other than we're blessed today. Hallelujah. I'm not going to get caught up in the calamity of the unconvinced. I'm not going to let naysayers give direction in my life. No, No, I'm going to trust in God with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength today. I'm going to trust in the Lord that He's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. I'm going to trust in the Lord that when I'm in the valley, He's going to bring me out. I'm going to trust in the Lord when I get too big for my britches, He's going to bring me down. I'm going to trust in the Lord, He's going to put me right where I need to be. Because I'm blessed. I'm a child of the King. Clap your hands today if you're a child of the King. Clap your hands today if you're thankful for the direction of the Lord. Clap your hands if you're thankful for the provision of the Lord today. Clap your hands if you don't want negativity speaking into your life today. Clap your hands if you want the truth to be your moral compass today. Clap your hands if you want God to be your guide today. You're blessed. You're the children of the Most High God today. You're blessed, but you can't get caught up in the calamity of the unconvinced. No matter how hard we try, no matter how perfectly we speak this message, no matter how wonderfully we orchestrate and we craft and we portray it, some people are going to reject it. Some people are going to reject it. Some people are going to refuse it. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to invite calamity. You cannot get caught up with the unconvinced. It takes the truth to make us free. It takes the truth to make us free. Without the truth, you are not free. It takes the truth to make us free today. I wonder how many people have lost their way with God because some negative person was given an opportunity to speak into their life. I wonder how many people God had wonderful things in store for, but they got their advice from the ones who rejected the truth. I wonder how many people could be used by God mightily today had they not gotten caught up in the calamity of the unconvinced. I wonder where we could be today if we could keep our eyes upon the Lord. I wonder how wonderful He could bless us today if we could just trust in His word and let it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path today. Stand with me as the musicians come quickly today. In the book of Mark, the 9th chapter, the Bible speaks of Jesus coming down off of the Mount of Transfiguration. He has Peter and James and John with him. He's on his way down off of the mount, and he seeks to join himself together with his other disciples. As he's on his way to meet with the other disciples, as they draw closer, he sees that there's a multitude of people gathered around them. As he gets closer to the multitude, he realizes that there are scribes, religious leaders of that day. They are there with the disciples of Jesus Christ, and they are questioning them. They're questioning them. And the Lord walks up, Sister Melissa, and He says, "Why are you questioning my disciples?" And before those scribes could ever even respond to the question that Jesus asked, the Bible says that a man in the crowd spoke out. And he said, "Sir, Master," he said, "I have brought my son here to you today." He said, "I brought him here to you today. And," he said, "he has had a dumb spirit, and it's tearing him up. He's wallowing around on the floor. He's foaming at the mouth. The spirit is troubling my child, and I brought him here to you today." He said, "I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't cast him out, so I brought him here to you today." And the Lord said this. He said, "Oh, faithless generation." In layman's terms, he said, "Oh, unconvinced people. Oh, unconvinced people. Don't you understand if you just believe me? If you could just be convinced in what I can do." He said, "Oh, faithful or faithless generation." He said, "How long shall I be with you?" And he said, "Bring the boy to me." And the man goes back, Sister Amy, and he gets his son and he brings him to the Lord. And the Bible says as he got near to Jesus, the spirit began to rent him and tear inside him. And the boy fell to the ground and he began to waller all over the ground and he began to foam out the mouth. And the Lord looks at his father. He said, "How long has this spirit been troubling this boy?" He said, "Master, since he was just a child, this spirit has been troubling my son." He said, Lord, it casts him into the fire and it casts him into the water and it seeks to take my boy from me. It seeks to destroy him. He said, "Lord, if you can do anything, would you please help us? Would you please help us?" And you know what Jesus said? Jesus looked at him. He said, "If thou canst believe, if you'll just be convinced, if you'll stop letting the devil unconvince you, if you'll stop listening to these scribes, if you'll stop listening to these people that don't know what they're talking about, I can raise your boy up today. I can get rid of this trouble today." And the Bible says, he says, "Come out of him, thou dumb and deaf spirit." And the Bible says that spirit came out of that boy, never to return again. If you can just believe, if you can just be convinced how good God wants to be to you today, get rid of all the negativity in your life, get rid of all the naysayers surrounding you, and just trust God and watch and see what he can do for you in your life. That day, the Lord cast that spirit out of that young man, and the Bible said it was never to return again. Never to return again. Man, I come to tell some folks in the house of the Lord today, if you can just be convinced, if you can just have faith in God, if you can just understand he wants to bless you, he wants to restore you, if you can just have faith. Jesus said, "If thou canst believe today," he said, "I'm going to cast this spirit out of this boy." And you know what that man said to the Lord? Brother Bill, you want to know what that man said to the Lord? He said, "Lord, I believe." And then you know what he said after that? He said, "Lord, help my unbelief." He said, "Lord, help me be convinced. Help me get rid of the naysayers. Help me get rid of the negativity. Help me believe. Lord, help my unbelief." You know, I tell God all the time when I'm praying in prayer, I said, "Lord, help my unbelief. Help me, oh God. Don't let me see no ceilings at all. Let me believe you for the miraculous. I know you can do it. Lord, you said if I'll just believe, anything I ask in faith, believing, two, touching and agreeing. God, you said you would give it to us. You can heal cancer. You can raise the dead. You can open the blinded eyes. You can put homes back together again. You can bring children home to the Father's house. Lord, if we just believe. If we just believe," he said, "if thou canst believe, if you can just be convinced, don't get caught up in those that are unconvinced, because it will rob you of what God has for you." My heart breaks. My heart breaks today for people who have allowed craziness to steal the blessings of God out of their life. Come on. They let the wrong people close to their heart, close to their mind. It's those seeds of doubt, just like what happened in Iconium. Come on, they preached to them the same message. Some received it, some rejected it. Some said, I want the truth. Some said, I ain't receiving the truth. And the ones that rejected the truth, they began to sow seeds of doubt into the ones that received the truth. They drove the voice of God right out of their life. There's nothing that the enemy wants more for you than to drive the voice of God out of your life. He doesn't want you to hear from God. He doesn't want you to hear from God. He doesn't want God to be able to speak into you. He doesn't want you to have a tender heart. He wants your conscience to be seared with a hot iron. He wants you to be somebody that rejects everything. He doesn't want you to be soft and tender and palatable in the hands of God. He doesn't want you to be clay in the potter's hands today. The last thing you want is to find yourself in a place where you cannot hear from God. If I was in this place today, and I was lost and without God, if I was in this place today and I was struggling in my walk with God, I wouldn't even wait for the preacher to open these altars. I'd get out of my seat right now. I'd come to the front of this church and I'd say, Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, help me to be fully convinced that what you have in store for me is better than what I have in store for myself. I've done my best to this point, and all I've done is mess it up. I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me. I need your voice of many waters to speak into my life. You came into the darkness, and you created light. Lord, do the same thing in my life today. Do the same thing in my life today. Help my unbelief. Help me to be fully convinced today. Help me, God. I know you can do great things if I can just believe. If I can just believe. If I can just be convinced. Stand with me. These altars are open. As we get ready to sing this last song, you're not the first one up here. You're not all alone. Come on, these altars are open today. Get out of your seat. Come up here and seek the Lord today. The Lord wants to give you direction today. The Lord wants to be your guide today. The Lord wants to show you the miraculous today. Don't let the voice of God be driven out of your life by naysayers today. Come on, you need God to speak into your life today. These altars are open.